We must. We are dealing here. I think the new members were just joining us. You guys are running a copy of legislation. You found us at the tail end of the legislation we're dealing with. However, I think you are helping us to ensure that we constitute the necessary quorum to proceed with our meeting. There were a number of issues. I think, did we complete the process? No. Now, we ended up where? Sorry? Where's that? Page what? Page 4. Number? Informal. Thank you very much. We can start. I must separate the two of you. One must sit here, another one that side. We'll have progress in this meeting. Thank you very much. No, we're just talking to Vuyoga. We dealt with the question of no person shall sell or offer to sell a tobacco product except in a package containing such quantities or a number of units as may be prescribed. And then we put a flag there, if you recall. There were a number of discussions that we had around this specific issue here. And there were, firstly, the certain policy principles that were informing this particular clause. And I think the state law advisor, I think, was a person who put it quite succinctly, who actually said this was designed to limit easy access of tobacco and the starting point to ensure that, therefore, to limit the sale of loose facts, restricting affordability to young children, therefore loose facts not allowed. That was the policy, not policy, as such, the principal question which she was actually raising, out of which, at the same time, emerged a number of questions around this specific issue, especially implementability. That was the word used at some point in our discussion around this particular issue, as well as whether it will achieve its desired results and the impact this will have to the SMMEs, am I right? Those are some of the discussions that we had around this particular question. And we will invite comments, and I think I know that Mrs. Maureen and I even attended another meeting when we were dealing at the WIPA site with this particular aspect. Again, I know there were views there. So can I invite comments? We must start from that clause number 7, line 44, ne? 43, line 43. There were a number of views. Among others, at some point, was there were two options that we needed to actually consider at some point. I think it was also part of the discussion. One was leave this to the regulation. Another one was delete this clause after a long discussion. And, of course, there were certain views around the question of the regulations. And can I invite comments?
Chair, when I remember quite well what we said, being advised again by the department was either we delete the clause at all, but when you look into definitions at the end of the day, I should think we are going to create a very serious crisis. And when you look into the object of the bill again, I think we are going to create a very serious crisis, because the intention of the bill indeed is to forbid any child who's under 18 to access the use of tobacco. But maybe in deleting this clause, again, maybe the department has to revive us as to how did they arrive at this point of deleting the clause. Because the other thing that we have discussed on that day was an issue over regulations. And I still remember that you said, can the regulations be availed in front of the committee, of which, again, it was very difficult because we have not as yet passed the bill. Therefore, we'll never have some sort of any regulation in front of us. Now, maybe if we can get a clarity, because that day I still remember that some of us were not happy about the issue at all. Now, if they can maybe refresh our minds again on in this regard. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any other comments? If you recall, Honorable Waters suggested that the question of single cigarettes was the question of warning, that you can't put in a single fag a warning, but the package itself as a warning. I think that was the view raised by, and then he also raised the question of how to enforce this particular provision on 7, and the licensing part of it. If, and just remember that some of the issues you were raising there, and Ruth Rabinovitz, Honorable, was suggesting also the deletion of this particular issue. There was another one, except in a package that may be described. I can't remember who put this particular comment. I can't remember, I think something like that. So I think we must move fast on this one. Yes, sir.
What the department's trying to do is prevent single cigarettes being sold, right? And I think what we're saying is that it's basically impossible to enforce. So I think what we were talking about last time was the fact that maybe single cigarettes could be sold in wrappers within the packet. So when hawkers...
We use the word like
this. Yeah, as opposed to the GGs. You know, so when they do sell individual cigarettes, the wrappers on the cigarettes, so they still get the warning. That was one suggestion. It does also help, I mean, someone raised, and someone's trying to stop smoking. They... if we're going to keep this clause in, we're going to force them to buy a full packet of cigarettes, where otherwise they only want to buy 3 or 4 a day to cut down, if you know, to wean themselves off the tobacco. So that's also another way of looking at it. You would be helping people to actually try and come off smoking. And obviously, we are making it that no person under 18 can actually buy cigarettes, and no one's allowed to sell cigarettes to anyone under 18, so it would protect, the youth anyway. It's illegal to sell to under 18. So they shouldn't be able to access cigarettes in any event, whether this clause remains or not.
It was 16 and then went up to 18. If the chair then says, let's delete number 7, it was out of this particular discussion and this particular latter point, at any rate, it's not a necessary clause. What should be the comments?
Thank you, Sir President. Chairperson, I think we support the deletion of the clause, since we've also deleted clause 4.
Thank you. I'm not an honorable, I'm still honorable. Thank you very much. Chairperson, I think the concern, first let me try and address the question related to Honorable Waters' question. I think the issue is we want to maintain, first of all, the packaging part. Now, honorable members are more concerned about the quantities or numbers of units. That's where the debate is, not in the packaging part. So maybe, honorable chair, the one possibility is to, and I'm saying it's a possibility, is to delete from the word containing such quantities or number of units, so that the clause is only about packaging, unless, which is actually what we're dealing with anyway, which exists in the legislation. That's what we were trying to amend. That's the one possibility, Chair. In other words, I think it would be what Honorable Waters is talking about, that it's the packaging that actually is the concern here. There were two concerns, Chair. There was the issue of the units, and I think honourable members are suggesting that perhaps that issue leads to a debate about whether cigarettes can be sold in single units, etc. Now, in a way, Chair, if you look at the clause as it existed, it says no person shall sell or import any prescribed unless such product is in a package. That was existing in the legislation anyway. When the loose cigarettes were being sold, they were not in a package. That's the point. They were not in a package. So in a way, the issue of quantities was trying to enable that enforcement of the package also, because the package issue already existed, but the loose cigarettes were being sold. But I'm saying if that is an issue that still needs a lot of further debate about whether we want to limit the unit, then we can go back to just dealing with the package and then delete the rest about the quantities at this stage. Maybe at a future point, we can engage with the issue further. That would be a possibility, Chair.
Chair, indeed, it's in an agreement with the definition of package. If indeed we are going to delete containing such quantities or number of units as may be prescribed, so it will mean no person shall sell or offer to sell a tobacco product except in a package. When you read the definition says, package means the container in which tobacco products are sold. It doesn't actually address who is selling a tobacco product. I should think at this stage is where all the street vendors or our SMEs are now covered in this sense. Thank you.
Chair, as a follow-up, if I may follow up, Chair, just to clarify something. I forgot that I was also trying to answer Honorable Matsumela's question about why we were saying therefore delete the whole clause.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying if you take out the quantities, and that's where I was starting in terms of the logic, then you do not need the whole clause,
mm-hmm.
because 8 then becomes
problematic.
becomes what is seven. Because seven was for the purposes of quantity.
Mm.
It was not for the purposes of package. So, eight already says no person shall manufacture for sale in the Republic, import for subsequent sale, or sell a tobacco product unless it is packaged in a prescribed manner.
Mm.
So you already have in eight the prescribed manner of packaging. So that's why we're saying, then if the debate is about the quantities, then you delete the whole clause, because that clause is about quantity. It's not about packaging.
Chief, clause 7 deals with selling or offer to sell. Clause 8 deals with manufacturing or importing, which are two different issues.
Or selling.
Yeah.
Import for subsequent. Okay, for sale.
Yeah.
For sale.
No
person shall manufacture for sale.
Or sell.
Or import.
Or sell.
What Mr. Water says is that no person shall sell or offer to sell. Clause, this one says, no person shall manufacture for sale.
Or
import for subsequent sale or sell at all. Okay.
Mm.
Now, we'll come back to that one. But if we stop at package, the issue that we want to address as a policy issue is, in principle, yes, and I think the point Honorable Matsimelo was raising in terms of the age at any rate is actually defined and put in the legislation here. So anyone under the age of 18 is proscribed from buying or selling tobacco. So it's a given. Now the question that we are dealing with, the single sale tobacco, the enforceability of that particular provision. And I think it's a debate that we started a long time ago. That's the fundamental issue we must deal with. The enforceability part of it. We can pass it, yeah? But we can all guarantee these single facts, I think that was the word they used, these single facts will still be found. And your criminal justice system, your early warning system from people phoning your whatever line that is there will actually be glutting. I mean, even now, the enforceability of the current provision we have are still not there. You can go to Johannesburg Airport just outside as they are waiting somebody and then looking inside. Even now as we talk, when all of us go through the airport, we can say the same about a number of other facilities. So we were saying, again, as a departure point from our level here, that we at some point we want to pass something that at least we can be proud of. Not something that can really, we are just passing it for the fun of us passing this legislation, but as the end part of it, the implementation part of it, is well nigh impossible to implement. And I think that's the key, that's the crux of the question we are addressing. That's why, as a chair, one was saying then that perhaps this seven, if we take cue from what Honorable Matsimelo was saying, that at any rate the age restriction is there, we may not want this particular provision. Then the labeling is there, the packaging is there. We'll come back to the other first. That's what the chair was suggesting.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. As you said at the beginning, I have just joined you and would therefore not be au fait with the nature of the debates here, but a lot of issues that have so far been raised in my presence, indeed, I am familiar with to the extent that one experiences these issues in relation to the sale of cigarettes to people that or persons under the age of 18. What I would like to know is, insofar as that clause 7 is concerned, and all the objectives of prohibiting sale of cigarettes to persons under 18, and recognizing the lacuna that obviously exists as far as loose cigarettes are concerned, what is it that must be done to achieve fully the objective of prohibiting availability of cigarettes to especially persons under 18, given that majority of them in any case would still acquire them in loose form, if one could put it that way? And then I think this is one vexing question that we need to ask and indeed recognize the limitations that are there. And if those limitations are of such a nature that we cannot do anything about them, note them, and the bit that we are in a position, legally and otherwise, to enforce, then let's make do with that. That would be my suggestion. Thanks.
Delete clause 7, does it prevent the department from developing regulations which obviously would allow the sale of single cigarettes, but would then give you the latitude to say what packaging they come in? I mean, that would still be allowed. So, I mean, if we do scrap, I was just getting clarity from the department. If we do scrap clause 7, right, it still allows for the sale of single cigarettes. However, it allows the department to determine in what package those single cigarettes come in. So they could be wrapped like sweets, for example. So, you know? And therefore, you're getting the health warning across to the individuals concerned, and you're also allowing the sale of single cigarettes, because you can't enforce it. I mean, the DG said it's in the legislation now. And if you go across the road to Adley Street, the first hawker outside Absa Bank is selling them, you know, loose cigarettes. So I just want clarity on that, please.
I think in terms of air forticity, one important objective of the framework is closing the loopholes and increasing fines. Now, I just want to check, one, as to whether this will go to regulations. If, for instance, we delete the whole thing, will it go to regulations? And in terms of the 75 sections, section bill, because we have already discussed an issue of fines in that, saying if a person is found in the street smoking, not into an area which is designated for smoking, that person is liable for a fine of 500 rand. Now, I just want to know as to whether if we delete the clause out of here, that section within section 75 of the bill doesn't address the whole thing, Chair.
Can I just try and answer the two questions from the honourable members? The first one, honourable Waters, my own thinking is that if I was in the tobacco industry, I wouldn't even if there was a prescription of the packaging for a single cigarette. If the issue is what Honourable Waters is raising, that the person at the corner is really the person who sells a single cigarette, then I wouldn't necessarily start spending money on packaging single cigarettes. Because in any case, as you say, even if I package it in 20s or 30s or 50s, the person who's going to sell it at the corner is going to open it and sell it in single cigarettes. So in any case, there's no incentive for me to actually spend so much money packaging single cigarettes anyway, as we say. So, in other words, that wouldn't be an issue. You could argue that similarly, even if we prescribe the quantities and we said no package shall be less than 5 or 10 or 15, still there wouldn't be any incentive as long as you have the possibility of the corner seller opening whatever package you have and selling it as a single cigarette, and you can't enforce that. So if that's what I was saying, this clause is either there or not there. If you can't enforce it and there's a concern about it, then the clause doesn't need to stay because you'll never be able to enforce it. But if you believe that that's an incentive, at least for self-enforcement, even from those people, then you can keep it in that spirit. Because the actual, you know, the shop owner or pick and pay or cafe will always comply with the law, and so they'll never go back to a cigarette and sell it across that table. They will sell it in a package. But I don't think an industry would be incentivized then to package it in single because they want to keep that. They wouldn't say they have to. So I would say that is the reason why we're saying This actually, as a clause, it may help to take it out if the feeling is that you can't enforce it because it's about... In fact, the argument is the clause is about the informal settlement, because most of the formal settlement would never... or at least even if they do, it's in a limited sense, single loose cigarette. And it's the informal sector where, in fact, that's a growth area. In relation to access, even, and let me emphasize, it's not just about children. It's about people who actually smoke and continue to smoke because they are able to buy these loose cigarettes at any time. And I accept that on the one hand, you are right that somebody who wants a smaller package may actually be gradually. But similarly, somebody who keeps the habit, keeps it through loose cigarettes. And so that's an area we need. If we need a little bit more exploration, so that we can, when we tighten it, we tighten it such that it's effective, then we can take the clause out at this stage. That's why I'm saying because that packaging won't really change anything, even if you have it. So it wouldn't go to come to Honourable Matsimela's question. If it's not allowed by law for us to actually prescribe the units, then we wouldn't come with regulations that prescribe units, because that would be challenged. There's nothing that empowers that kind of action from the law. So it wouldn't actually arise in the regulation.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. So it means, according to what you are saying, DG, it means that the department is agreeing to the fact that even if we are saying no person shall sell or offer to sell a tobacco product except in a package, these loose facts are going to be difficult to monitor. We are not going to be able to monitor them, and our main aim in this tobacco legislation is to prevent young people from smoking. Yes, we've got adults who are smoking, but our main aim is to prevent the young ones to smoke. And if we are not going to be able to monitor the sale of civil facts, then then we are losing a battle here, because young people are the ones who are the most buying this, especially at school vendors. They buy loose packs there, they smoke, and the vendors themselves are unable to can say, you are less than 18, we can't sell cigarettes to you. The 13, 14, 16, 15, they are the ones who are smoking at our local schools.
You see, the key thing we must consider here, and again, I think one stands to be corrected. I don't think necessarily the tobacco product is responsible for those facts. It is people outside the control. They go to Macro, to Pick and Pay, and buy a carton, go there and open a tavern and put the loose fake outside, and then they sell. So, strictly speaking, I don't think there are any perverse role in this case by the industry itself to sell loose fakes. And it's outside its own control. It's the people outside its own control. So that should be our departure point. The fact of the matter, therefore, is loose fakes find themselves in the same outside these areas. You may not find them in the upmarket areas, but you can go to any of the underprivileged people. You will actually find them either in cheap beans or in other areas, people just surviving just by a twint of cigarettes and some sweets and some apples, and then they are selling in the streets. That's the point, Honorable Waters was raising. So if that is the case, therefore, and yet at the same time, the fundamental important role of this legislation is to fight to ensure that there's a reduction in smoking and the use of tobacco products. And I think and that's the balance we must actually find here. But I'm saying that, and I've seen it, almost all the legislation on tobacco we have passed, there's still a lot of flouting of those bills. So we passed the legislation last year on the question of the patios and other end spaces of smoke and other places, the entrances, the doors, etc., etc. You will still find a number of areas that are all of us we go to. We see these things. That's why I'm saying that at some point we ourselves, and sometimes it's embarrassing, of course, sometimes we just keep quiet because you don't want to impose yourself to people. I'm an MP, why are you doing this? It's not right, it's not modest. But sometimes we find it at airports, in hotels, in number of places that people doing this thing. The problem is that we continue to pass, the enforceability aspect of it is a problem. So I'm saying that we must therefore say, Macro, Pick and Pay, Spa, and all these big shops and other places, and I think every place now that sells tobacco will know that under the 18 years old, no sale of tobacco, places of smoking are restricted, and the number of fines, etc., etc. The question is, this provision, where does it help us? That's the question. Oh, yes, Sister George.
Thank you, John. Firstly, I must just say why we have the selling of loose fake is because there is no legislation that is prohibiting that. So this legislation is trying to put emphasis on the fact that no cigarettes, tobacco product must be sold except in a package. That is the emphasis of it. And I maintain that if we keep on saying that that because of the challenges that are there, we will never legislate, because each and everything that is a fact of life, there are disadvantages and advantages on the thing. This thing is the objective of this bill is to limit the access, as you correctly put it, Chair, earlier on your opening remarks, is to limit the accessibility of tobacco to people. So, in actual fact, I'm sure the target is to make a smoke-free country. That is the target at the end. So, if we put legislations at least that are sort of trying to prohibit the use of tobacco and the accessibility and affordability. That is the starting point. So my emphasis is that this clause put emphasis on the exception that unless it is in a package, that is the emphasis of the and the importance of it underlying the objectives of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Machilela.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I do agree about this clause. But the thing is, like Chairperson has rightfully said, people are smoking anyway. You find people smoking in offices. We have passed that bill last time. And also, in restaurants, I remember when I was here, I was still in health, that we were saying no children should be in smoking areas. But you go to restaurants, you still find people getting in the smoking areas with small children. I don't know how we can help this clause by having proper health inspectors, which we don't have. We don't have inspectors who can be able to monitor what we are talking here. We write, but no follow-up. Follow-up is inspectors. Let us have health inspectors, then I think this will work. But otherwise, it won't work because it is not the street vendors only who are selling loose straws. You find them in shops, the home township shops, not a cafe, but a shop. You find them selling loose straws. Thank you, Chair.
Welcome, Honorable Dudley. We did get your apology. Thank you very much for joining us. We're still, remember the clause 7 we were dealing with last time.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're still on it. Thank you very much. Honorable Martinez.
Chair, I want to come back to what I phrased earlier on, because people who are selling loose packs are selling this to smokers. And I said earlier on Section 25 of the bill, we are having a section under fines. If we don't find a way on how do we address this section on the bill, I think we'll be losing what we have actually passed on that Section 75 of the bill, because there must be synergy at the end of the day. The seller who is a street vendor and a smoker at the same time, who is a street vendor, maybe a chairperson, someone can coin this section so that it must find a way on how it does agree with Section 75 of the bill. I think there is no way that we are going to take it out of we can delete it, but when you think at what we have already passed, Chairperson, it creates a very serious problem right now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think, Chairperson, in addressing the concerns of various members of the committee and, of course, the officials from the department, the question that we must ask ourselves is, insofar as this Clause 7 is concerned, do we see it as an end in itself or as a means towards an end? And I'm raising this question because I do not think that what we are trying to achieve with this particular clause and perhaps other similar clauses is a Big Bang type situation where, you know, overnight all that we are yearning for as far as this is concerned is achieved. We have the whole gamut of legislation in this country where certain provisions of various pieces of legislation that we have passed so far, not only in relation to health and so forth, are in fact not being followed to the letter. But does that necessarily make them bad legislation? Our society is evolving, And to the extent that our society is evolving, at some point, it may be 10, 20, 30 years later, our own people will be so conscious of the need to maintain a high quality of life and to understand that if we do that, then there is a reward or an incentive of longevity and so forth. Let me make an example with, say, the so-called Scandinavian countries. I mean, people there, just from the point of view of environment, even just personal health, they are so conscious. The whole issue of climate change and so on and so forth, they are so conscious of these things because they have reached a certain level of the quality of life that they would really want to enjoy life and so forth. And I think at some point, we shouldn't despair, in my view, Chairperson, at some point, people themselves will be so conscious of the need to refrain from smoking and so forth. So I would therefore conclude by saying, let us retain that clause, because in the end, that is the objective that we want to achieve. So I really don't think that we should be worrying so much or fretting about whether you will have enforceability. It is important, of course, but this is just the beginning, health inspectors and so forth. But take, for example, vulnerable workers, labor, what do they call them, the inspectors, who should be there to see. Sorry? No, I'm talking about the farmers and so forth. Inspectors in that sector who should ensure that those vulnerable workers are protected in terms of legislation. So there are so many of them who are not getting the necessary protection despite the infrastructure being there. And it just could be lack of capacity, and I think it is. So I think we should see this as something that's evolving. And, of course, make it a point that it's phrased properly, but the essence should be to retain it. Thanks.
No, Chair, I think I want to suggest, Chair, I still would want to suggest, Chair, that the intentions, I think, and I agree with the Honourable Members just spoken, at some point we will be able to enable people who actually have a particular consciousness to actually be supported by the law. My own sense, Chair, is that because of the current uncertainties about the debate in relation to who this clause would apply to, I would still think that, Chair, perhaps we should, for the time being, and I want to say for the time being again, take it back to a kind of not a legislation environment, but maybe a public campaign and awareness environment first. In relation to schools, to state vendors, et cetera, so that when we can come back to the issue of prescribing the number of units, knowing that it will be much more self-enforcing than perhaps it can be at this stage. So I still feel that your suggestion that maybe we should consider dropping this clause is one that we should actually go with. Just in relation to the fines issue, because this is about sales, Section 75 talks more about smoking, the actual standards and smoking. So it would enforce the fact that people violate the laws on smoking. And if we wanted the violation of the laws on the sale of products, it would have to be in this legislation, not in terms of Section 75, because it's about the standards that are related to smoking in public places and in vehicles and all those things. So here, if we wanted to enforce this, in terms of saying there must be a fine, we would have to put a clause of this nature, which is there at the end. I think there is a clause that begins to talk about the violation of this legislation. Or if it's not there, it's still in terms of all legislation violations. So my sense, Chair, is at this stage, Chair, we wouldn't lose a lot if we dropped the clause, because we would still actually take up a very vigorous campaign to deal with this issue of loose facts and see if we can reduce the sale of loose facts from a public awareness and campaign point of view, rather than perhaps taking the route of enforceability at this stage. So I think we should go back to your proposal, agreeing with the principles that are being espoused by the last speaker, but I think perhaps the context is not so right yet.
Welcome, Honorable Kalyan. We did get your apology. Thank you very much. We always say you are our resource for information. So we always never complain when you attend the Rules Committee and other things. You are always there as part of our assistance. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you. Honorable Matsimela.
Chair, I just want to know, because I don't have a problem of maybe this clause to be taken out of the bill, but I just want to know where exactly are we going to take the whole thing out? Are we, for instance, earlier on, it has been suggested that it should be no person shall sell or offer to sell a tobacco product except in a package, then full stop. Are we still going to retain in a package? No person shall sell. Yes, yes. It means that. I just want you to get a clarity, Chair, on this. Honestly. No?
Chair, I agree with what the DG has said, where we need to have an education campaign. That's in law respect should have been done initially when the legislation was first adopted. Mm-hmm. Particularly, I mean, it's easy for pick and pay and checkers and the big retailers and the corner cafes to be informed about this legislation. Particularly the big retailers, they have lawyers informing them to make sure they adhere to the legislation. But once again, the hawk on the street has no knowledge of this legislation. Anyone can sell cigarettes, as you know. You don't need a license for it. So it's very hard to control that, unlike alcohol, for example. So, I mean, I welcome that, and I think we do need to go on an education drive, and that's the budget for it. You know, to inform hawkers in particular, but not only for them, but generally the public on that sale of loose cigarettes is prohibited at the moment, even. And has been for a while, you know, X amount of years. So I do support what the DG is saying, and we look forward to the campaign.
Now, there is a proposal, but how do we ensure that we don't lose what the state law advisor and other people were saying? And I think Honorable Frida Matibela's point also. While she was saying there's no proper health inspector, then I think all of us there will kind of agree more with her. Now, will it be legislatively wise to put a proviso on what the DG is saying, with a particular target on public education, issues with regards to loose facts or loose straws, another word that we gained now, loose straws. Will it be legislative, or we just leave it and then the Honorable Waters saying that we look forward to this particular campaign, or perhaps out of this legislation, now that we've passed 93, 99, 2007, 2008, and yet you can take all these things, but outside implementation is still lacking, that after this there can be some polishing on the enforceability, or maybe subsequent clauses will have to look at this particular aspect. Maybe the lawyers will think as we go down, so that at some point you can go to, you know, it's always frustrating to say this. You can go to a restaurant, The smoking station is, of course, is designated, is there, but the door is wide open. Or sometimes the issue, and it was, I think it was in our session 75, the waitresses that are serving there may not be smokers, but over time get so choked with the fumes outside that they become secondary smokers. And yet we have legislation protecting people. Well, how do we address? This is the crux of the problem, that my frustration that I'm always facing when we pass this legislation. How do we address this? Oh, thank you, sir.
Yes, I may add, often restaurants make the outside section the smoking section. So as a non-smoker, if you want to sit outside, you can't really. That's not. And then I do agree with what the Honourable Member said about children going into smoking sections, but I don't think there's any legislation at the moment or regulations prohibiting children going into smoking sections of restaurants, as far as I know. So, and that's what, we do need that. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Chair.
I think, Chair, let's all admit that enforceability in general, it's not just in the tobacco bill, it's in every aspect of South African life.
Yeah.
Enforceability is a problem. Even with cell phones, we have law that says people shouldn't use their cell phones while driving. Honourable members here too. And I can quote, I can go on. Enforceability is a problem. And I admit, Chair, that the Chair, we shouldn't add to that burden. Let's see if we can enforce what we've got and ensure that we concentrate on pushing more enforceability than creating more, if we're creating more of a burden on the law which is not enforceable. So that is why I'm taking the view that perhaps what we need to do now is to pause and say, after passing this legislation, let's concentrate on some of these things and see if we can enforce them. We do enforce these things, Chair. When we go to these restaurants, we actually have to be custodians of the same law that we pass. And so some restaurants have taken them to task for actually not doing these things. But of course, we have to do it as a kind of public campaign. So that's why I'm saying the clause, maybe Chair, at this moment, because it's about... the assumption is that we are also dealing with loose cigarettes. It could actually be packets of 5, 10, 15. This clause simply prescribes the possibility for actually prescribing a minimum quantity of units. But we know that's what we're trying to deal with. So that's why I'm suggesting that let's take the clause out, bearing in mind that perhaps at this stage, for the kind of constituency that is using this, we need to actually embark much more on public education first before we actually criminalize their activities, because we're actually criminalizing the activities of that constituency. So let's first educate that constituency before we make criminals out of them. That's what I agree with, Chair.
Thank you. I think there's a proposal.
What I was going to say, Chair, is that you first, there are two things in this thing. You first put a legislation and you go around educating people about the legislation. So you cannot say that this thing is wrong when there is no legislation. The second point is the legislation. You put legislation, and then the other thing now is to go around, educate people about the legislation and the objectives of the legislation.
Now, the Chair is saying here that we agree on this one. There was there were a number of views around this question of, I think the DG used the word, what is public awareness campaign. The other issues that we raised. All what I'm saying that maybe as we go through now this bill, let's think maybe somewhere if there can be a clause. Because otherwise we'll go back to what Mr. Mike Mabasa was cautioning us, that every time a new thing comes, another amendment bill. Every thing comes, another amendment bill. And let's not prove him right, because he was passionate when he was actually raising this particular point. And so let's think maybe as we move down the legislation itself, where we could consider the views that have been raised. That a statement, we don't know, we don't put a statement in the legislation, but there must be a particular way where we can say, in a particular sub-clause somewhere, again, I'm just going to look as we deal with this bill, that we can put an element of enforcement and public education. We must find a clause that gives you that. Otherwise, really, we'll continue doing these things. And Honor Zukalian last time, she says, at some point after this bill, we must take a walk in Adderley Street and we see what the passing. It will be embarrassing. I wouldn't want to accompany there because we'll see what we don't want to see. But at some point, maybe let's think about that. I really want to suggest. Maybe as we gravitate towards the tail end of this bill, maybe anyone who's got some ideas can just write and present to the chair. Then we can pilot it. Agreed? I was saying that we'll come back and formally agree on this. I've not yet put it to the members. But I'm saying that having listened to the points the DG was raising, and in terms of public awareness or public education, self-enforcement, and all those things he was actually raising, the point Honorable Matibela Frida was raising about it was enforcement, but she used the word proper health inspectors, all those issues. But maybe towards the end of what we're doing, again, we'll be skillful in looking as to where it fits properly. We consider something that puts a particular provision on public enforcement and on enforcement and public awareness, so that we don't do what Mr. Mike Mabasa was saying from JTI, that the problem with us, we always come, there's another issue, amendment, another issue, amendment. And I'm saying it will be actually unfortunate that we can prove him right as soon as we deal with this issue. Can I make that proposal this morning?
Yeah, well, going to say, Honorable Chair, how about putting that in the regulation?
Yeah.
Because I really don't agree with what the
state law
advisor said.
Yes,
because for me, you must take the interest of the people from the ground before you can even legislate. You must bring them on board and have a feel of what the people think. Not at the end phase, that when the legislation is already there, then you go and educate them about it. Before the legislation, at the policy, take them along and get a feel of what they think about this bill. And we didn't do that. We don't do it. In fact, we don't do it. We now we have this top-down approach, which is not for democracy. It is not. Thank you very much.
Honorable Kalima.
I was going to agree about putting it in the regulation.
Of course, we had a particular suggestion on regulation. We'll come back when we give you a particular aspect.
In fact, Chair, my on the floor. My response would be, I would be reacting to what you had suggested about public. Their public awareness element being incorporated into legislation at some point. And as you said that, I was thinking about, for one reason or another, the department not doing that and somebody saying, look, this X number of children got exposed to smoking, they're under the age of 18 and so forth, and therefore we are instituting litigation and so forth. And I think it's something that we should be very careful about, because we've seen these things in the United States and so forth. And even in South Africa, people can be quite litigious. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
I just want to correct the honorable member. I've never said that people must not be consulted. I'll never champion that. So what I was saying is that to the department to educate the people about a legislation. That is something that was done with the National Credit Act when it was done. After it was passed, the department went around educating people about the National Credit Act. So that is what I was saying. So I will never say that people must not be. In actual fact, if that was the case, that the department didn't consult the people with it, that is wrong. But I was not aware that the department didn't consult before they did it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tetra Advisor. Okay, let me give you the hand. I don't want to, we're not going to pursue this because it's going to steer us off the rail of our discussion. Thank you very much, because let's come back to the substance matter that we are actually dealing with here in terms of this. But there's a view that maybe we have considered the regulation when it comes to that particular last clause on the regulation or transitional measures or whatever. We'll come back and actually deliberate that particular provision in terms of what we are saying. So do we agree that we expunge this particular clause 7? Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. In fact,